The opening of Robert Schumann's Arbeg Variations, played by Charles Owen. I'm Erica Wirth, and welcome to this pianist podcast. Today I'm catching up with the British pianist Charles Owen. Having just released an album called The Young Schumann, Charles appears on the cover of the February-March issue of Pianist magazine. That's issue number 142. Charles, in your interview for Pianist magazine, you mentioned some sides to Schumann that are quite different to the ones that most people usually think of. It'd be lovely to hear what you say about this.
Well, with Schumann, you know, when he was young, he was so high-spirited. I've read a great deal about what he was like when, as a student, and he was a bit of a rebel. Basically, he liked going out, hardcore drinking, socializing, lots of fun times. And then he balanced those with hours and hours alone at the piano in his room. And of course, that's when he was desperately trying to become a pianist a little bit too late in life. He should have been studying law, but spent hours and hours playing the piano and really rather overdid it in his pursuit of becoming a pianist. Left it a little late, sadly. So I'm very drawn to the, in this album, I've called it The Young Schumann for a reason. This is before the sort of dark clouds really gather. That's a much, much later part of Schumann's life. And I just love the sheer joie de vivre, the energy, the way he captures some of the characters from favourite books of his, by authors like E.T.A. Hoffman. And the music is, particularly Papillon and Carnival, it's full of dance-like movements. And there's just this incredible energy and joy and freshness. So
yes, it's nice to hear that, because most people talk about the pained Schumann, you know, going mental asylum, you know, the doom and gloom of Schumann. So it's quite nice that you've approached this more light-hearted side to him.
I think so. That's partly what's bound. I always try to make connections on my albums, and that's what's really bound that together. These four particular works I've chosen here: the Arbeg, Papillon, Carnival, and Intermezzi.
Okay. And those pieces, I mean, you've obviously learnt them, you know, very deeply indeed. What have those pieces or this album taught you in terms of your own technique at the piano?
Well, actually, I think Schumann requires a very specific hand position. This might not be true for every pianist, but I personally, with my fairly small hands, need to use quite an open hand position, slightly flatter fingers than I would in some other composers. And that's particularly to navigate fast chordal writing. In the Arbeg Variations, he uses much more sort of virtuoso Chopin-esque writing, particularly sort of fast scales and arpeggios, filigree textures. But by the time he's writing in Carnival, it's much, much more big chords, fast moving. And I find I navigate those much more comfortably and successfully when I'm using a slightly more open hand position. So
that's very, very interesting. Yeah. So if you were teaching it, you'd tell your students to give that a try, the kind of slightly flatter finger approach?
Absolutely. As long as the thumbs always remain supportive. One danger of people saying, oh, use slightly flatter fingers here, is that the thumbs can collapse. Make sure they always support the other eight fingers. That would be my advice. And also to practice any, like, say, the opening of Carnival with wonderful eight voice chords. I always practice each line separately. So I feel really independent with each voice, rather like a conductor rehearsing an orchestra. I want to know every line, how it feels. Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. And as I'm talking about playing and you know, what would students, what would you suggest to players of an intermediate level? What Schumann repertoire would you suggest to them, apart from, let's say, the usual Kinderszenen and so many people learn? What would you suggest?
I mean, if you were a small youngster, Schumann himself wrote the album for the young when he had his own children. So that's for the very early days. For the more, you know, medium level player, I would suggest a number of pieces. The Arabesque, Opus 18. is a really great choice, and it is not simple, but it really captures Schumann's profound poetic nature, his quirky nature, and it's wonderful for controlling voices, and the coda is just sublime, one of the most sublime pieces in all of piano music at that page. So the arabesque, I would say the Fantasiestücke, opus 12, there are 8 of them. Now, some of them are extremely difficult, but 2 of them, if good with D-flat major, are manageable. The opening, Des Abends, the evening nocturne, or an Warum, which those are definitely more manageable in a slower tempo, but quite involved to learn. If you can cope with 3 staves of music, then the F-sharp major romance from Opus 28 is...
Wonderful piece.
Isn't it glorious? Wonderful.
Sublime.
It's what's particularly glorious about that, I think, apart from the fact it sort of glows, doesn't it, in that warm key of F-sharp, is that the melody is often entwined between the 2 thumbs with the accompaniment around. So it's really good for developing, if you're somebody who loves inner voices, if you love the sound of the viola in a quartet or something, that's the piece for you.
Absolutely. No, you're very passionate about all this, and I can tell you've got this kind of, you're trying to share this information with people, and as you're a busy performer, that's for sure. You mentioned that teaching is also so important to you, and you can tell by how you speak. Tell me why you feel that teaching is so important.
Well, I think every musician who's taught, and I think it's the same in the ballet and the acting world as well, you learn so much by having to crystallize your ideas in words and demonstrations at the piano. And that was one of the big challenges during COVID, of course, online teaching. I mean, online teaching can be very successful, but it's much harder to demonstrate over a screen than it is sitting next to the performer. My game has been raised so much by working with a massive range of students from a fairly low level up to the most advanced players imaginable. I'm very fortunate. Every now and again, outstanding young pianists will say, can I bring you my program before I record my debut recital or before I go to this competition? So I get to work on a sort of very refined level, giving them notes. The crystallizing of ideas, the explaining of the way I approach things, why I think certain things work. Having said that, I'm very, very open-minded in lessons. I never, ever say it has to be this way and no other way. I feel interpretation should always be evolving. And there are certain pieces I've played, which I've then taught a lot. And when I've returned them as performer, I've imbibed all sorts of elements from my own students. So
how fantastic.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
And also, I know that you love collaborating with other musicians.
Yes, I really do. I wouldn't like to do it all the time. And I wouldn't like to play solo all the time. I collaborate with other pianists in most regularly with my duo partner, Katia Piekshova. And we've recorded a lot together. We have our own festival, London Piano Festival at King's Place. I've also worked with pianists such as Catherine Stott, Imogen Cooper, playing four hands. And that's amazing because you have their sound in real time entwining with your sound. And it's a very, very special experience. And of course, string and woodwind players. My 2 most favourite string players to work with probably are Stephen Isserlis, who I've learned a huge amount from as a musician. And he's raised my game as a performer, I would say. And also the virtuoso violinist, Augustine Haderlich. We have a number of videos on YouTube of our live concerts. And actually, we've just edited a new version of Prokofiev Violin and Piano Sonatas for Henley. So what if you're interested in playing Prokofiev, and have a look out.
That's wonderful. I love, having read your interview, which appears in the magazine, I love the way that you compare music and musicians to different wines. that made me smile. And
I'm
so
very
I'd love
glad.
You to explain that a little bit further so that others can understand that.
What did I mean by that? So, but if we stick with just pianists, first of all, the variety of our incredibly rich repertoire, everybody knows no other instrument quite has that range of repertoire, because it's not just solo, it's in chamber music and concerto. Listening to pianists in competitions, in concerts over many, many decades now, I really do feel some have a lighter, they're like a sort of light, white wine, something more crisp on the palate, if you like a
Okay.
Sancerre. And then you
Yeah.
have others who've got a deep, rich kind of velvety sound, a sort of a Myra Hess like, or a kind of Emil Gilels, that kind of deep, rich sound. For me, that's a sort of Burgundy or,
Okay.
yeah,
How
so.
very interesting. What would you call Pellini, Maurizio Pellini?
Oh, got it. Oh, what would I call him? Which wine would I go
I know, it's
for?
very difficult. Maybe something quite, I don't know,
Something
austere.
along. Yes, I was going to say a Merlot, but I think it might be too sweet. I need more time. I need to try more wines to this.
White
But
wine.
what I'm trying to say is, you walk into a wine shop and there are literally hundreds of different bottles on the shelves. Now,
Yes.
some you just won't want to taste, but there are, but many, many, many you will. And it's exactly the same with pianists who are playing, not just professionally, but obviously those playing professionally. There are some that you just think, ah, that person, that pianist in that repertoire, that's my number one choice. So that's why I make the comparison.
No, it's lovely. I really like it. And
Thank
it
you.
actually makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back a little bit in time and let's go back to your early days at the piano. You've said that you're a late developer. Let's say that's that you weren't catapulted into stardom as a child prodigy. Do you think that's worked in your favor on your professional journey as a concert pianist?
I absolutely do, but at the same time, I know other people who played magnificently when they were young who have gone on to make incredible careers. I think there's so many trajectories to making a life in music. There are others who are phenomenal as children and fade away in early adulthood.
Yes,
It,
yeah.
it, I just think there's just many different roads to Rome here. I'm very happy with my own journey.
Yes.
The w when things really began was when I went joined the Yehudi Menuhin School in 1985, and I was just 14, and I worked with a very inspiring lady called Sete Tanyel,
Yes.
Armenian, and she really brought the piano and music alive. And we'd go to concerts, and she'd play us recordings, and she really showed us how to practice. And then the next big, the big influence, two big influences were Irina Zaritskaya at the Royal College of Music. Again, I
Yes.
met her through the Menuhin School, and she was extraordinary. Without her level of teaching, the detail, the information, the care, I would not be playing professionally today.
Yeah.
So she was at 5 years, and then the icing on the cake, it was Imogen Cooper.
Yes.
And she just shares such a wealth of knowledge and experience and dedication and love. And also, she really showed me how to project in a concert hall, which,
And you've had some amazing teachers. Do you ever speak to them this day? You might bump into them at the Wigmore Hall and say, "Hey, I'm learning Fantasiestücke. I'm having a bit of a problem with whatever. Will you, what, can you give me a bit of help?"
That kind of thing doesn't happen anymore, really. But I certainly would discuss, particular issues. And I have to say, every now and again, Imogen and I will get together for a relaxed evening, and we'll both play something which we're working on to each other. In fact, I actually very lucky. I got to hear her very first ever run through the Diabelli variations. So, and then I've played her Opus 76 Brahms, which I then recorded on an album. So that's the sort of thing we'll do, a couple of times a year when there's diaries permit. And
Excellent.
amazing moments. I treasure those moments. I
That's
really do.
wonderful. That's wonderful. I mean, something really different here and lighthearted. Was there any, at any point in your younger life, that there was another profession you'd have been tempted to try?
Well, my main other passion, I adore the visual arts, and I adore literature and cinema, but I think it would be landscape gardening. When I was,
Goodness.
when I was in my, I used to garden at home and created my own garden and eventually annexed more of my parents' reasonably substantial garden in Hampshire. But I realized that was not going to be for me. Music took over. And funnily enough, I'm the eldest of four children, and my third sister is a professional gardener. And she's
Are you a little jealous of that?
Tiny bit. I love going to visit her and seeing her creations and how she combines plants. That is very musical with the way colors are combined, the way
Yes.
size plants play in a garden in perspective. There are definite parallels. Languages was also my other passion. So if I hadn't gone into music, I think I would have liked to have taken one of the three languages I speak to a much higher level.
Oh, three languages. Which are those?
German, Russian, and French.
Nice.
French is the weakest, Russian's the best.
Ooh.
Yes, exactly. Actually, I recently was introduced to Steve Rosenberg, you know, the Moscow correspondent out in, and we spent a very lovely couple of hours together, and we actually spoke Russian for at least 25 minutes together. So that was, I still got it.
Amazing. Where
Yeah.
did you study Russian? Where did you study Russian?
When I was 16, I started learning it at the Menuhin School. I'd already done French and German for a few years, and I became really interested in, you know, Russian pianism and music, the repertoire. And also, it was the end of the Cold War. I'm that old, I'm afraid. It was sort of fascinating, the country, when I used to see it in the 1970s and 80s on TV. I was intrigued. And of course, I've been and performed there many times in the past. Sadly, not at the moment possible, but who knows?
No,
Who
of
knows what the
course.
future holds? One hopes for very much brighter days.
Of course. Well, you're obviously such a busy performing artist. Yeah, and you obviously have to practice an awful lot.
Yes.
What keeps you sane? Is there anything away from the piano where you can switch off and just be in a different zone?
Yes, there are a number of things. Listening to audio books. One of my favorite things. I live in a very leafy green part of North London and Muswell Hill, and I love going for walks, listening to audiobooks. And I mean, reading, sitting there holding the book is one thing, and that's wonderful, that's the ultimate. But having a great actor read, especially the classics, which I've never really got into, say, Dickens, but having it read by somebody wonderful doing all the voices. So that's one of the ways that I relax. And the other is by keeping to a strict fitness regime of personal training twice a week and Pilates when I can fit it in, on using one-to-one with reformers. So that keeps me strong and focused for the piano. And
Yeah.
it helps me completely forget what I'm doing on the piano or stresses about concerts or anything just for that short period.
Yeah, that's very important, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Exercise. Well, we're getting to the end now, so I just
Yeah.
thought I'd fire off some kind of cute little questions that maybe you could just answer me
Okay.
off.
Let's see what
Okay.
happens.
Okay, so let's go with one. If you could play only one piece in the whole repertoire, what would that be?
Oh, this is such a hard one, but I think it would be something which I have yet to learn in its entirety, the 48 Preludes and Fugues of Bach, because it's inexhaustible. It's a series, it's so much there. That would be my one piece I would play forever if I could only play one piece.
How many of them have you played so far, do you
God,
think?
only about 10 or so. I have played a huge amount of Bach and recorded the six partitas, and I'm about to play the Goldberg Variations in London this year at St. Martin's in the Fields. But the 48 Preludes and Fugues, that would be it, because I haven't learned them all. And it's inexhaustible.
Okay, you're absolutely right. Okay, another question. One pianist, dead or alive, you travel long and far to hear.
Again, tricky, but I think it would have to be the late, much missed Radu Lupu. He was one of the first great artists I heard when I was 13 years old, and it was at the Bath Festival. He played Opus 109, 110 by Beethoven and the Schumann Fantasy, and I'd never heard anything like it in my life. And I then was fortunate enough to meet him later on and hear him many times in concert. But most unforgettably was at a private house. We were staying in the same house at a festival in the Cotswold. And I heard him playing late at night. He just sat down and played for a group of us. And then Stephen Isserlis got his cello out and they played together. And there were only five or six of us listening.
I can't
Yeah,
believe
that
that.
was
Oh my
yeah,
goodness.
it was the most unbelievable moment. And
Wow.
And he used to go to bed very, very late. His candle would burn brightly in the evening. And he just sat down. He'd already given a full recital, by the way, at this point. And he just sat down and started playing. And it was unforgettable. The sound, the humanity, the vision, the modesty. No
Oh,
one made
was
me
he? You
play.
spoke to him, you
I
had
did.
conversations with him.
Yeah, I
How
really did.
wonderful.
Yeah. But
Very, very
he
special.
also shared he was very, very open and honest. He shared that, you know, how stressful he found the profession, how hard he found sleeping, traveling, how nervous he still got.
Okay.
So there was a high price to pay
Wow.
for all of those who of us who've admired and listened to him. There was a high price to pay behind the scenes.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's special. That's
it was
really
special.
special.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically, I can't get any better than that, but I'm going to ask you one final question. Is there one person, dead or alive, you would love to play for?
Ah, yes. One of my favorite composers is Felix Mendelssohn. And I just love the spirit of his music. I love the invention and the just there's such generosity of spirit. His brilliance was unparalleled. He just
Wow.
it's just it, there's some every time I see a portrait of him and I read about him and his just generosity towards other musicians, I just think he would be the one I would love to play for and to
So
meet.
interesting. Don't you think maybe he's sometimes overlooked for
Yes,
favor
I
of the other big romantic composers?
yes, I think he often is overlooked. And funny enough, I was just adjudicating a romantic prize at the Royal Academy of Music a few months ago, and hardly anyone played Mendelssohn, which was a real shame.
No.
No. And there are some very great works like the Variations Sérieuses is out there, and of course, all those songs without words. Easy to dismiss them as music for beginners. Not at all. There's a massive range, and many of them are very complex indeed. And I just think he was an extraordinary human being, like so many 19th century artists taken from us too early.
Yes. Oh, that's very
Yeah.
interesting. I would have never thought you'd say Mendelssohn. Oh, but Charles, listen, this has been delightful. I don't really think I've got anything else to ask you. I'm sure our listeners will have learned so much with this.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for joining me. And I wish you all the luck in the world. And I look forward to listening to you in concert very soon.
Well, it's been great chatting, Erica. It really has. And I'm looking forward to sharing the interview with your listeners and, of course, my new Schumann album. I hope everyone
Okay.
really enjoys listening to that.
I'm sure they will.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Charles.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was an excerpt from Robert Schumann's Arbeg Variations, and it was played by Charles Owen on his new album, The Young Schumann, from Avi Records. Pianist podcasts are free, and a really good way to support what we do is by subscribing to Pianist. Visit our website at pianistmagazine.com and listen to us on YouTube by searching Pianist Magazine.